This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Discovery Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I don't consider yesterday to be a joyous day to see Mike Anderson no longer your head men's basketball coach. I don't see it as a day where people go out into the streets and celebrate like they have with previous coaches that have been fired. I don't see it that way, and I don't think anyone feels that way. This was a tough pill to swallow. This was a tough thing to do, not only for the University of Arkansas, but for fans to see Mike Anderson go because of what he meant to the University of Arkansas, what he has done for the University of Arkansas. There's not a guy that loves the Razorbacks more and the University of Arkansas more than Mike Anderson. He wanted to win really, really bad. He wanted to bring Arkansas back to national prominence, back to a chance to where they could at least compete for a national championship on the regular. He wanted that, and fans wanted that. But unfortunately, it never transpired. It never happened. And that's the real unfortunate thing about it. I've said many times on this show that if Arkansas was to win a national championship in men's basketball, they'd want Mike Anderson's name on that trophy. They'd want Mike Anderson to be the guy that led them to that national championship. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And the University of Arkansas had to move on. It's a Band-Aid that you had to rip off. It hurts. It's not a fun day yesterday. It's not something that everyone just jumped with joy and just so glad that ding-dong, the witch is dead type of mentality. It's one of those things that it's more about the appreciation and showing thanks for Mike Anderson and what he did, more so than it is about the joy of seeing a man lose his job. But now it's time for Arkansas to move on. And Tommy, I know that this was something that we had talked about on the show and speculated about, but to see it actually come to fruition and see that now Arkansas is looking for a new basketball coach on the men's side of things is one of those things that we expected at some point in time. But I don't know, maybe I'm different, but I did not expect that yesterday.
Oh, I thought it was a real possibility. I didn't think it was as imminent as yesterday. I mean, when we were discussing it, we were discussing this message board conversation in more terms of rumor and the fact that if there was a meeting between Juracek and Mike Anderson, it, you know, was more standard operating procedure at the end of the season.
Yep.
Clearly, there was more fact to those conversations, whether or not the venue was correct, whether or not some of the details were accurate. Doesn't matter at this point. The end result was accurate, was correct. Mike Anderson and Hunter Juracek did not have a meeting of the minds. From what you're hearing, administration wanted some significant changes with his coaching staff. Mike, as we've said for several weeks now, very loyal guy, loyal to his staff. We have been very consistent in what we thought all along, that Mike would be very resistant to making staff changes. And from everything I was hearing throughout the day yesterday, from everything I've been hearing for a couple of weeks, Mike was very resistant to the idea of making sweeping staff changes, really any staff changes. And when that came down as really one of the things that administration wanted, he was unwilling to do that. And that was, you know, from all we've been told, one of the crossroads with administration. And ultimately, you know, his loyalty, which is to me one of the most respectable things about Mike Anderson, was one of the hurdles he could not clear. And, I'm not surprised this is where we're at. I didn't think it would be on Wednesday morning of this week. It would not have surprised me if we were there Wednesday morning of next week. But I am not surprised we are looking for a new basketball coach. I'm just a little bit surprised with the timing.
Yeah, the timing was, I think, what threw everybody off, because you saw a lot of these other teams and all these other programs that decided to make moves with their teams and their programs. They did it essentially the next day after their season ended. And, you know, Arkansas season ended on Saturday versus Indiana in the NIT. And then Monday came around. So everyone's like, all right, so if there's going to be any change, you would think it'd be on Monday. Well, then Monday came and went and there was nothing there. And then Tuesday came around, and that maybe that's what it was more about with me and my surprise by the timing, is because I was expecting something Monday, and when Monday came and went, then I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's not going to happen if it didn't happen Monday. And then I'm sitting at my apartment at around 3:30 p.m., and I'm getting starting to see some tweets and stuff, and I'm getting blown up with text messages. And I know, Tommy, you called me, and I had family members call me. They're like, hey, this is what I'm hearing. And then it just kind of built up to this momentum thing, and then boom, around 4 p.m. is when the announcement was made official. And I think that the timing of it all, like you said, Tommy, is really just what was so shocking about it all, and what threw everybody in a loop. And it's just a weird time because, you know, we've seen coaches in football and in basketball. I haven't really in baseball because there's only been like two. But in football and basketball, we've seen coaches get fired. We've seen coaches leave. We've seen coaches, you know, change. We've seen coaches do a lot of different things and be approached in different ways as far as what they need to do for the future and how they need to change it. We've seen it happen. But I could be wrong because I know you got a few years on me, Tommy, so you may remember a few more. But this might be the firing that hurt the worst, if that makes sense. If it was the toughest firing that needed to be done in a lot of Razorback fans' minds, but at the same time, it's the firing that hurt the most where you really didn't want to do it, but you knew that you had to do it.
I think the way I sum it up is it just didn't work out. Everybody wanted this to work out. This was absolutely a relationship that both sides needed to be successful, but in the end, it just did not pan out. To me, I can't think of a clearer description of it. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it came down to. It's not that it was anything else.
It's like Mike was the CEO of a company that just continued to break even. I mean, they have a couple of years where you made money, a couple of years you lost a little bit. But in the end, I mean, it was basically a sum zero. I mean, you just kind of broke even for 8 years.
You didn't take the steps forward. You didn't take any major steps back. You just kind of sat there and floated.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, the program is far better off.
Without a doubt.
Than it was where he found it. But as far as meeting expectations, reaching new levels, those are the kind of gains that, you know, so don't hear me saying that, hey, Mike didn't leave it any better than he found it. That's not what I'm saying when I use the terms break even. But that's kind of the feel. He came in and took the program, and you never achieved what you wanted to achieve. Mm-hmm. There was marginal advancement. He got the probably the biggest thing Mike did. Other, you know, he did get to the tournament. Three times.
So twice.
So, but probably Mike's biggest accomplishment and biggest thing that doesn't show up in the stats is academically, he got this program back on track that when it was in a dumpster fire.
APR was awful.
I mean, this program, I mean, remember Dane Altman leaving and how bad it was, and then John Pelfrey didn't exactly make things a heck of a lot better. And it was just a disaster behind the scenes, and Mike cleaned up a lot of stuff. And for as bad a shape as the program was and the underbelly of the program, I think Mike, from all accounts, has gotten a lot of those things righted.
Yeah. And those are the things that he may not always get credit for. And I know it comes down to winning with fans. You know, you got to win. You got to improve. You got to do better. But again,
John, the bottom line is, and when I talk about break even, the bottom line is he got to three tournaments in 8 years. The previous coaches ahead of him in 8 years, I think, got to three tournaments as well.
Yeah, if you combine Pelfrey and Heath, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's kind of, yeah. That's the sense I've come to is, over the last 16 years, the last eight and the previous eight are about the same mm-hmm. as far as what the fans and how you measure a program and success. Because in college basketball, the only measuring stick is where you at going into March and where you at coming out of March.
Yep. Yep. And I think what also went against Mike Anderson is during the time, most of the tenure that he had in the SEC was when the SEC was not a good conference. Boom. It was not a good conference. And so that was a perfect opportunity for them to step up and be that second best team or fight for the first best team against Kentucky, and it just never happened.
Right. And there's some things, and Nick Mason's going to join us here shortly, and we'll get his thoughts. He's going to be back in today with the breaking news. He wasn't scheduled to be here today, but obviously with this news with Mike Anderson, it's necessary to have Nick back in today and get some of his thoughts. I think there's two or three major things, noteworthy moments that probably changed the fate for Mike Anderson.
Yep.
And I want to go through some of those and maybe, you know, get y'all's thoughts on what y'all think are two or three of the things that would have changed the fate for Mike Anderson at Arkansas if some things had been different in a few different moments across his 8 years.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hogs!
Is he did make a video thanking the Razorback fans, and here's what he had to say.
Razorback Nation, it's been a challenging day. When you have pride and passion about what you do, it's hard to say goodbye. I had an opportunity to be the head coach here for the last 8 years. It's been a great experience. I want to thank Jeff Long, Dr. Gerhardt, for bringing me back to be a head coach. Got a lot of great players to come through our ways. Have a very good young basketball team that's getting ready to really ascend and do some great things. I want to thank my family for their love and their support, our coaching staff and their families. And I also want to thank the Razorback fans. There are none like our Razorback family. Thank you. And to all of my friends, through 25 years of being here in Arkansas, we've made tremendous friends. And I want to say thank you for your support.
That was Mike Anderson leaving a video to the Razorback faithful and to everybody in the state of Arkansas yesterday after the news came out that he was no longer the head basketball coach. You know, that was the thing that if you're a Razorback fan, if you were a Mike Anderson fan, you know, it's really tough to watch because it's one of those things, too, is not only is your program changing basketball coaches, which can be a scary and exciting moment, but it's also somebody that you care a lot about that's been around a long time and that truly loves your university losing his job and having to change his life as well, too. So it's a tough watch yesterday for a lot of people.
Nick, is he a game or two or three this season from this decision being different from getting another year? If, say, Western Kentucky and Georgia Tech, maybe Texas at the beginning. How close was Mike Anderson, in your opinion, to keeping his job?
How far do you think this team was away from making it to the NCAA tournament?
That's really the essence of my question.
Yeah.
Two or three wins.
And
there's no way they're firing him if he's in the tournament.
No. Because... You can't
fire somebody. That's the whole reason they didn't. I mean, that's how razor thin this decision really is.
Yeah.
That's why it's such a tough decision and really so tough to watch it unfold is because it really is that close. I mean, to me, football decisions become much easier because it's, to me, so much more obvious to see what's happening. In basketball, you're judging the outcome over 30 or so games. And it really comes down to two or three games and the bounce of the ball here or there and really some free throws. And listen, this is the summary of 8 years and only missing the tournament in five of those. And I think he makes the tournament maybe a time or two more. You know, there's two or three crossroads, I think, that happened for Mike. 2014 was a critical year. I think maybe the biggest thing that didn't happen for Mike that would have changed the outcome at Arkansas and maybe changed the narrative, changed the story, was in-state recruiting and two critical in-state recruits that got away. And, we're talking Malik Monk and Kayvon Allen.
Whenever you say that,
how much different would the story be? I mean, I think there's four or five things that happened across. And you could say this about any coach that's going through what we're talking about right now. Hey, if this, and this had happened, it'd all be different. Well, I think that, you could say that about a lot of fired coaches. But I think in Mike's case, there's two, three, four things across his 8 years you point to. If this had been different, we wouldn't be sitting here today talking about this.
Whenever you say in-state recruiting, though, and you bring up Monk and Allen, are you saying if those two guys come here, you make an Elite Eight, a Sweet 16, a Final Four? Or are you saying you cannot consistently miss on in-state recruits just because it looks bad on your resume that you continuously miss on in-state recruits?
I'm saying that there would have been a Sweet 16, Elite Eight. I don't know if there'd have been a Final Four or not, but there would have been
with
greater
those two
tournament
guys.
Success
yeah.
with those two
okay.
guys.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. There would
okay.
have been there would have been more postseason success, shorter postseason success, obviously with Monk, and maybe with Allen and Monk together. Obviously, who knows what would have happened with Allen here over a, if he'd have stayed here as long as he would have stayed at Florida, who knows what would have happened? I mean, as far as Sweet 16s and more tournament appearances, I just think those two things right there, that's one of several things that might have changed the course of things for Mike Anderson at Arkansas that didn't go his way.
Yeah, because going off of what you said, Tommy, how many times did we say during the season that if this team just would have actually had a game where they made free throws, the difference it would have been, and just how if they make it to the NCAA tournament, I agree with you, because you don't fire a coach that's made to the tournament 4 out of the past 5 years, which is what they would have done. Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing, too, that I want to throw on top of that, of what you've been saying, is it's also just about the future, man. It's about what was coming in and what lack thereof, I think, was a lot of it, too.
But, you bring these things up because the next coach needs to study what went wrong with the last coach in order to not follow the same path, right? No. Now, there's not going to be another Malik Monk for a while, right?
Obviously.
Probably ever. Maybe,
I never thought there'd be another Corliss Williams, and then Malik Monk came along. So someday there will be 20, 25 years from now.
Once-in-a-generation type player.
But, point is, some of these same things that happen, there's not just one. It's not just that's the whole reason.
Right.
There's two or three things that we can go through across. And I thought Andrew Hutchinson wrote a great piece last night laying out about 4 or 5 things he thought of.
Yeah.
That kind of changed the tide, changed the fate for Mike over his 8 years.
Yeah, maybe if Arkansas didn't have to face North Carolina 2 out of the 3 tournaments there in the second round.
That was one thing he pointed out was the North Carolina games. He talked about the end of the 2014 season. I thought there were several things. He didn't mention those players in his article, but I thought that was really, to me, one of the biggest things that could have changed Mike Anderson's tenure at Arkansas more than anything else.
Yeah, and even last year against Butler. I mean, you think about that tournament game and what that would have meant and how, because you were perfectly set up and I'm not saying you had an easy path, but you had an easier path than you had previously and it just didn't work out. So let's go to the phone lines. Ben is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, guys. I kind of got to agree with Juracek on doing something here. I mean,
he didn't fire.
When you hire somebody,
Ben. He didn't fire. He didn't fire Mike Anderson.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. Well, parting ways with Mike, when you get rid of someone, I mean, what's Mike's biggest accomplishment here in 8 years? We made the tournament 3 times. I mean, I think his biggest accomplishment doesn't meet the expectation of the fans or the university. And that goes in even to a relationship. If someone's accomplishments don't meet your expectations, you got to make some changes. I mean, in your personal life, in your work life, in your career, I mean, something's got to be done. If your biggest accomplishment is making the tournament 3 years out of 8, and Razorback fans and the university expect to be in the tournament more often than less than 50%, more often than 50% of the time, why not make a change? I mean, what do you got to lose? We're not going to make the tournament next year? Big deal. Make a change. Expectations. You set them with your kids, with your spouse, with your budget, with your boss. If the expectations aren't met, people terminate themselves. And that's what happened here. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
I appreciate the phone call, Ben. No, that's the thing is I feel like most Razorback fans, reasonable Razorback fans, understand that, change needed to be made in their eyes. They felt like the program was not achieving this level of success that they feel like they should have. And so a change needed to be made, but it just doesn't make it an easy change.
Well, we made this point earlier. Previous two coaches, Heath and Pelfrey, made the tournament 3 times in 8 years. Three times in 8. So it's kind of a, as I said earlier, I described Mike as a break-even coach. Not that. And that's what I meant by that. You never really – he improved the program from the standpoint that it was in a dumpster fire academically, behind the scenes. There was a lot of underbelly problems. But on the floor, about the same number of tournaments as his predecessors combined over the same number of years.
And also you had it to where the lowest of lows for Mike were a lot better than the lowest of lows for Heath and Pelfrey. Right. But it was the highest highs that were breaking even, essentially.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to. That's what people grade it out.
3 and 9, I think we can assume, and we don't know what would have unfolded next year, but if he'd have stayed for a 9th year, it probably would have been 3 and 9 for Mike.
Probably.
Yeah, would have been the same thing. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don is in Greenwood. What's going on, Don?
Hey, guys, I think it's pretty easy. March Madness is a big deal.
you
the only deal. It's the only deal, Don. It's the only deal.
Basketball, nobody pays attention to basketball in February. Nobody pays attention to it in January. I like Mike. I think he rode the coattails of our greatest coach ever, Nolan. And I think we hired him trying to repeat greatness. And Nolan was great. I don't care what y'all say. We need to go and get somebody.
Have we ever seen anything different?
No, I'm not arguing with y'all at all. I mean, Nolan was awesome. And I think we hired him to repeat that. And he's not Nolan. Now, I like Dee, but basketball only matters in March. And if you're not in the mix, if you're not sitting on the couch and your team's not playing, you're pissed.
Yeah,
we've seen this coming. Well, that's bottom line. He's a great guy. We wish him well. But we need to go and get somebody original. And what doomed him was not having anybody in the pipeline for next year. The man on the last call was exactly right. You're not going to go next year, so get somebody who can recruit.
Yeah.
Point blank. But I wish the man very well. I mean, he represented Arkansas well, but we need to move on because we're not playing in March. That's the bottom line. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Don. And to add to the point, too, when Arkansas hired Mike Anderson, that was considered a pretty big-time hire because of the success that he had.
And let's scratch this now. Did it help that he was here when Nolan won national championship?
Of course he
was, but he was a top 25 coach when Arkansas brought him in.
Yeah, because if you look at it, he was a coach for 9 seasons before he came to Arkansas, both at UAB for 4 and then Missouri at 5. In those 9 seasons, he went to the NCAA tournament 6 of those seasons, 6 of the 9, and had made it to the Sweet 16 twice and Elite 8 once, and also had won 2 other games in the NCAA tournament. So he had a really strong resume.
So if you do a blind resume, and that's what you say, the next coach coming to Arkansas, he's made it to the Sweet 16 twice, once in a non-Power 5 school, the Elite 8 once, the NCAA tournament, 6 out of 9 times, he's been ranked X number of times, you're going to hire that coach.
Yeah, you're going to make it work.
Sound a little bit like Bielema?
Well, you're just talking about the resume?
Yeah.
Well, Bielema's is probably better.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about from the standpoint of previous success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bielema had maybe a deeper resume, but I'm just talking about previous success before Arkansas then comes here and it just doesn't pan out.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Mike Anderson underachieved at Arkansas for what people were expecting him to do. That's what it come down to.
I'm just saying Arkansas hired a couple of high-profile coaches in the two major sports that had good resumes coming to here, and Mike was the obvious choice to take this job. For Jeff Long, it was an easy choice when he hired him. What was it, 8 years ago yesterday? Ty put this up. I saw on his Twitter.
Yeah, 8 years ago.
When they made the announcement.
Introduced
8 years ago yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was kind of ironic or coincidental. I don't think you tell me which one it is, but that it all comes about and comes to its end.
Yeah.
Exactly 8 years ago to the date yesterday. But, that was an easy selection for Mike. You didn't need a big panel, a committee to figure out who to go after your next basketball coach.
Made sense.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Just to get right into it, Jeff, with Mike Anderson being dismissed as a Razorback basketball men's coach, that came as kind of shock as far as timing goes for a lot of Razorback fans. When you heard about this news, what was your initial reaction to that?
I thought it was a 50-50 thing maybe a couple weeks ago. But ultimately, listen, and I hate following up Mike Anderson Jr. because, I feel for every coach that gets fired this time of year. It absolutely sucks, and it sucks for me to do my job and have to report on all these. Luckily, I get to report on the hirings as well, which are at least positive for a lot of these guys. I think ultimately the expectations are what they are at Arkansas. They're higher than just to get in the NCAA tournament, right? They want to go to Sweet 16s. They want to have a chance for the Final Four to be mentioned and be an opportunity, even a dream. And there's been no dream of that for a long time, not just under Mike Anderson, but under John Pelfrey, under Stan Heath. And I think Arkansas basketball has the resources, has the support, has the fan, the passion, all of that, again, to be able to get a guy that's not just getting in. Again, he got in 3 of 8 years. is that enough for Arkansas when you're looking down the road at Auburn and seeing what Bruce Pearl's done the last 2 years? I would have made the move. Personally, I would have made the move. I just felt like, again, the expectations are higher than that at a place like Arkansas.
Where does Hunter Yurecek, Arkansas's AD, go from here with Vanderbilt looking, Bama looking, LSU likely looking, a crowded SEC hiring market in a league that's elevated itself and probably the best SEC basketball market we've seen in 15 years?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. There's a lot going on right now in the SEC. And if Will Wade gets cut loose, and I don't know if that'll happen right away.
And I didn't mention A&M, too.
Yeah, A&M. So A&M's probably going to be Buzz Williams, unless somebody else steps up with a better offer. And, again, maybe Arkansas is that school, because Buzz Williams, you know, can recruit Texas from Arkansas. Many people would say Arkansas is a better job than Texas A&M, certainly from a historical standpoint and tradition and everything like that. I think you are looking at, if you're Arkansas and Hunter Yurecek, you're probably looking at Kelvin Sampson, because of your relationship with him and the fact that you were on the staff at Houston when Sampson got hired with Mac Rhodes. And I had heard, you know, a couple weeks ago, listen, the only way that they're going to make a move with Mike Anderson is if Hunter Yurecek knew he had somebody like a Kelvin Sampson to be able to bring on board. I'm heading to Kansas City actually tonight, so I'll see Kelvin tomorrow. Listen, there's no doubt he's a great coach. He's won everywhere he's been, including Washington State, where the only other person that wins there is Tony Bennett. So Kelvin Sampson, a hell of a coach. I'd look at Chris Beard. Again, I don't think he can get him. I think Chris Beard will sit tight at Texas Tech until he can get a Arizona, a Texas, maybe UCLA comes calling. You know, a third name I would look at if I were Hunter Yurecek, if you're striking out. You know, to me, the two top names should be Kelvin Sampson and Chris Beard. And again, Beard, you'd have to make him an insane offer to get him out of Lubbock right now for Arkansas. What about Frank Martin? You know, what about Frank Martin? Final Four a couple years ago, did a great job at Kansas State when he was there. He's not at a basketball school. Could he move within the league? Doesn't happen very often, but I know he would like a job where it's basketball-centric, yeah. and the resources are there.
Yeah. I like Frank Martin. We were talking about this during a break earlier. Is his lack of tournament appearances a problem,
yep,
to sell to a fan base? Yes, he does have the Final Four. He does have that 1 year, but what about the rest of the years at South Carolina where he's struggled to make the tournament? Is that a hard
sell?
I'm
with you. Yeah, I'm with you. It's not as easy as Chris Beard, who's about as hot as any coach in the country, and Kelvin Sampson. But if you can't get them, who are you going to? Frank Martin, mm-hmm, Mick Cronin from Cincinnati, who's kind of outside the box a little bit. You try to Greg Marshall. I don't know if Alabama tried years ago, put a lot of money on the table. I don't think he goes to Arkansas or Alabama. And then you're talking a lot of kind of mid-major type guys, or you go after Johnny Dawkins after one good year at UCF. He was not good at Stanford. So to me, if you strike out on Kelvin Sampson, that's the one. And, Steve Forbes is a guy I would look at. He's done a great job at East Tennessee State. Nate Oates at Buffalo, but he's a little outside the comfort zone. He's never been down south. Chris Jans is a guy I'd look at. New Mexico State, done a good job. But nobody sticks out after Kelvin.
See, the word is Arkansas is going to be willing to pay $3.5 to $4 million a year. If that is indeed true, that's certainly, you're talking about strike, it widens the strike zone, so to speak.
Yeah, but Chris Beard's making that already, in that range. So, that's the hard part. In order to lure Chris Beard, I've said it, either Alabama or Arkansas would have to put an insane deal on the table of, 8 years, I don't know, $35 million or something like that. I think, again, on the surface, you look at it and you're like, well, why wouldn't he leave Lubbock? Texas Tech's not a great job, basketball. All that is true. But he's making really good money. He likes Lubbock a lot. And I don't know if Alabama or Arkansas are jump enough for him to make that move, with thinking that maybe he can get an elite level job if Arizona opened up in a couple months, depending on what's going on there. If UCLA came calling, although he's really not a fit at UCLA in Westwood, his personality and everything about him, but it'd be hard to turn that down.
Now, Jeff, we'll let you get out of here on this. It's been since 1996 since Arkansas has made the Sweet 16. Every other team in the SEC, every other team in the SEC has made the Sweet 16 since Arkansas has. So fans are still hopeful, but is Arkansas still a program that's set up with everything else surrounding it to be a nationally competitive and relevant program like it once was?
You need the right coach. You need the right coach, and he needs to hire the right staff. It's not just the head coach, guys. It's the staff you bring in, because the head coach has got so much going on that he relies on his staff at that high major level. So you got to bring in really good assistant coaches who are willing to work, who can evaluate, who can develop guys. So, I think Arkansas can certainly get back towards there, especially with all the things going on within the league right now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, LSU could be a mess coming out of this. Florida's not Florida. Auburn, let's see if Bruce Pearl can sustain this. Mississippi State's going to fall off a little bit. So, I think they can. I think they can get back. And all you got to be consistently one of the top three or four programs in the SEC. And there's no reason, in my opinion, that Arkansas, with the support, with the fact that it's one of the few schools in the SEC. How many SEC schools are truly like basketball schools?
I mean, maybe one besides Arkansas and Kentucky. I mean, that's the main one
That's what I'm saying. Like when you think Arkansas, you think basketball, not football. You can only say that, I think, about Kentucky as the only other school. I mean, maybe, Vandy or something like that. But, for the most part, it's Kentucky and then Arkansas. So why can't you get a guy in there that can win consistently? They've done it before. Obviously, it was a long time ago with Eddie Sutton and Nolan Richardson. But they've shown they could do it before. I just think you got to get the right guy and the right staff in place, and I think you can get consistent NCAA tournaments, and then get it to a point where maybe you can get consistent Sweet 16s, and then anything can happen once you get there. You just want to be in the mix and be a top 25 program every single year.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.